Good afternoon. Well, we thank you very, very much for coming, both those that regularly attend with us, obviously, and the visitors which we have. We thank you for accepting the invitation to hear the recurring series of the Kingdom of God. We also thank you for taking some time from your very busy day and your life to spend time here with us. You know, I almost didn't make it here. I've got a little bit of a drive, and I always put the deacons and elders in a little bit of a panic because I usually get here right before services, and we heard a sig alert that there was a milk truck that had tipped over at the exchange of the 134 and the 210. And it was becoming worse and worse as we got closer to closer. We called our son, who was ahead of us, couldn't get a hold of him, and I thought, how are we going to get here on time? And lo and behold, of course, we prayed, and the milk parted. And no, I'm kidding with you. We didn't see any traffic. There was none. So we'll take a miracle any way we can get it. The time is fulfilled is the title, as Mr. Shemitz said, of this first message. Our specific objective today is to explore this very, very meaningful, very brief statement. Why it happened, when it did, and we have so much to discuss in so little time together. Time is an important factor in our lives. Our time is driven by our lives, and our lives are driven by time. We have watches on our wrist. How many of you have a watch on your wrist? Right, most of you do. Those of you that don't probably forgot it. We have them on our wrist. We have more in our drawers at home. We have them on clocks on our phones. We have in our cars, on our kitchen wall, clocks by our beds, on the desks where we work. And in fact, there is a big clock behind you that you can't see that the speakers can to keep us on time. Tony Campolo wrote, "Clocks with their revolving hands create the illusion that time goes on forever. Hourglasses remind us that time indeed runs out." I have a timepiece, it's old, it's important to me. It didn't cost very much, but it's easy to read because I know when Mickey's big hand is on the 9 and his little hand is on the 2, I know what time it is. So we are driven by clocks. In fact, time is embedded almost like a clock inside us. If you'll turn with me to Isaiah chapter 46, we'll read some verses that I hope you will find interesting. Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah tells us in chapter 46, verse 9, he says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man who executes my counsel from a far country, indeed, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it." And these are the words of God. The personal pronoun there is repeated over and over and over again because God is in control. God alone is God. There is no other. He is the creator of time, let alone reality. He declares what is a beginning, and he declares what is the end of it. He defines it and not mankind. His purposes and his goals, they will happen relentlessly without failure. Let's examine the verses in question, if you turn with me to Mark in chapter 1, where we're going to read this book, which is one of the shortest in the New Testament. It is the shortest of the gospel accounts. And you will often hear the phrase in the literature of the primacy or the importance of Mark. because many believe it was the very, very first gospel written. So examine these in questions and in context. In chapter 1, Mark, verse 9, it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. Verse 14. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." There is so much information here that Mark goes over that we have explained in other gospels, because Mark accentuates certain aspects in his gospel that others doesn't. In those days, John had baptized Jesus. John the Baptist had then been put in prison. We know from other accounts that he would be beheaded and his life ended. So John's mission of proclamation of the forerunner of the Messiah was over. It had ended. And Jesus' time had come. Here he would officially begin his mission. The time had come. John had been Jesus' forerunner, saying, "There is one who is coming whose sandal I am not worthy to unloose. Behold," he says, "the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This was John's message about Jesus who was to come, because he knew that Jesus was, as we call him, the Christ, which was the word Messiah, the Mashiach to Israel. John's job was done. He had completed his task in the world as God had directed him. The world at that time was in great upheaval to many in Jesus' surrounding area. The Roman Empire was near its zenith, having conquered the war machine, as it were, of the Greeks. They occupied a great portion, the Romans did, of the landmass we associate with the Middle East, the Near East, North Africa, and most of what we know of South and Western Europe, all the way north to Britain. Pax Romana was in full force, and nothing stood in Rome's way. In the southeast corner of that Roman Empire stood Israel in the city of Jerusalem, which is where Mark obviously is taken from. But the Romans were shrewd. They wanted to keep the peace in any way possible, so they allowed many religions to exist within bounds, and many languages to exist. The language of that day, especially of commerce, of the New Testament, was Greek, known as Koine Greek. It is akin, it is a distant relative to modern Greek, and it was spoken as the layman spoke in many cases. It was predominant throughout the Roman Empire. And into this world, God pulled back the corner, as it were, the curtain, and Jesus began his ministry, because the time had been fulfilled. In Israel, the prophets spoke to a time of the Messiah's arrival, the Anointed One. It was an incredibly important time. All Jews looked for that day, that specific time when the Messiah would arrive. In the law, in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, you may turn there if you wish, Moses said, "There shall arise a prophet like unto me, he you will listen to." And so Jesus the Messiah was looked upon as the prophet of prophets, the giver of all that God had spoken. Daniel, in his massive 70-week prophecy, spoke of the arrival of the Messiah. It centers, it's fixed as the central point within that prophecy of the arrival of the Messiah. Isaiah spoke in the 60-plus verse chapters of Isaiah, dozens and dozens and dozens of verses which spoke of this Messiah. David did in the Psalms. Alfred Edersheim, an Oxford don who converted from Judaism to Christianity, lists over 400 biblical references to the Messiah. This is important because it gives us an idea of just what the expectation was at this very time in the world of John the Baptist and Jesus. And it's the verses that we're reading about. The Jewish rabbis of the time knew and told of one who had come to redeem Israel, God's one true emissary above all others. The time of the Messiah, they said, will make all things clear. He will speak with great understanding of the law, and he will know God's law. Many said he was the walking expression of God's word and his law. He would embody all that God had spoke to man in one person. We find the phrase, the hope of Israel and the light to the Gentiles, throughout the Old Testament, and that's who they speak to. Paul, in the New Testament, where we have gone through a multi-week study of the book of Acts, speaks to this very issue. If you'll turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 26, where Paul has gone through a successive points before the Sanhedrin, before Romans. He has gone before Festus and Felix, and as we know, he eventually went to King Agrippa on his way to Rome. In Acts chapter 26, we'll begin in verse 19. He says, "Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they repent, turn to God, and do the works befitting repentance. For these reasons, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand, witnessing both the small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come, that the Messiah would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead, and would proclaim light to the people," meaning Israel, "and to Gentiles." This, with Paul seemingly near death, not knowing what he would befall on the next visit, or who he would see. So it was his life before him. These are the things that he spoke to the king. When the chips were down, we had nowhere to go, he resorted to the prophecies of the prophets and the law of Moses. They spoke to this Messiah that they all awaited for. King Agrippa knew full well. It is a fascinating account. And so the prophecies, dozens say some, hundreds say others, the Messiah, the anointed one, would come at a specific time. That is the time that we read about in Mark chapter 1, verse 15. Turn back to it with me if you would. Mark 15, we will read it again. Mark 15, it says, Jesus, and if you have a red letter Bible, it is in red. He would say, "The time is fulfilled. The time is fulfilled." The word time there is kairos. When the Greeks have four or five words, this specific word, this word conveys not just time in the sense of the turning of a watch or the watch's hand, but much, much more. Luke and Matthew use this very specific word heavily in their Gospels, dozens of times. They use it in the context of a season, an appointed time, a point on the calendar specifically set aside for an event, for something to happen, profoundly in the sense of a fixed period of time, opportune in its effect, seasonal in its nature, as if something is to be planted towards harvest. And it was now. Something was to happen. But why and what? The next word is important. Is because the time, it is fulfilled. It is fulfilled, it is papleurotai. Mark uses this word three times in the context as the fulfillment of the Scriptures. If you would like reference in Mark 14:48 and Mark 15:28, I'll read them to you. He says, Jesus' own words says, "I was daily with you in the temple teaching. You took me not, but the Scriptures must be fulfilled." They must be fulfilled. The next verse in the Scriptures were fulfilled, which says Isaiah, "And he was numbered with the transgressors." This is the context of the word and the meaning of the word fulfilled. The time had been fulfilled, and God sent His Son. Jesus the Messiah was to come to fulfill all that God had promised mankind. He comes, Jesus does, as the Messiah, to be the true Savior of mankind. Slain from the foundation of the world, He is the giver and the only giver of eternal life through God the Father, from God the Father. Next, Jesus, as the Messiah, comes to destroy Satan and his evil works and to teach us good works according to His word and His way. He comes also to build His church, those that would be called out, that He would use to help spread and usher in, which is the last point, to usher in the kingdom of God, to proclaim it and to preach it to a dying world. The world was no different in many ways in Jesus' day than we have today. All of us read the newspapers. All of us hear the radio. We watch TV. We look on the internet. There is destruction all over the world. Even the great and mighty United States seems to be faltering. No longer do we sneeze and the world catches a cold. Now, small countries in Europe sneeze, and the United States shivers. It is a world in which the kingdom of God is needed. And you hopefully heard that in the first session, the first seminar that was presented. If not, there are booklets, there are tapes or CDs available. But this issue of Jesus coming to fulfill as the time allows, this speaks to many things. It speaks to God's timing. I don't know about you, but I do. People that know me, I'm not always late, but I sometimes am late. It's life. It's never my fault. Things just happen beyond my control. So that's why all the clocks drives my family crazy. All the clocks that I own are set 5 minutes fast. I'm not sure why, but I always show up 5 minutes late. But that is mankind. But God's timing is always perfect. He is never late. He is never early. He is always on time. He is the creator of time. He set the clock. He makes the clock. He makes the time. He tells us in His law of times and timing over and over again. Today is a part of His timing, the seventh day Sabbath. It is a part set by God in Genesis that this day would be set apart from the rest of the week. It is important to Him. It commemorates many things, both in the Old and in the New Testament. He tells of his holy times, periodic landmarks within the calendar that we set aside periodically, sometimes in groups. Sometimes these days stand alone. But these are God's days, set by God, not by man, not by culture, and not by any religion. They are God's days. So He is a God of time and timing and fulfilling those times, fulfilling those prophecies of time. And nothing is haphazard. Jesus just did not happen. It was planned. It was thought out with excruciating detail, of which the human mind cannot even possibly understand. It will only be in the next life, in indeed the real kingdom of God, that we will truly understand all that God has been trying to tell us all these centuries. And so this time that we talk about in Mark chapter 1 and verse 15, this time set the entire world in motion. No time before it is as important as it was in Genesis. No time was like this time. The Messiah and the Savior of the world had come. The rest of these verses, they say much. In Mark chapter 1, again, if we read verses 16 and on, it says, He walked by the Sea of Galilee, saw Simon and Andrew, His brother, casting a net. They were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, this incredibly important, oft-repeated in movies and books, this very, very important phrase, He says, follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. So Jesus has come to choose His disciples. He is forming those that have been called out specifically, carefully, again with great deliberation and great timing. With foreknowledge, he picked each and every one of the disciples for a very specific, very rational, with an objective in mind. Each and every one he picks. Then he came a little farther from there. He saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were with him at the boat, mending their nets, and immediately he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. He's calling his disciples. This chapter is so important. Not until this time did Jesus pick disciples. It was only after the imprisonment and later the beheading of John that Jesus began his ministry. He says, the time has come. All these things have been set in motion. It's all been fulfilled. All the prophecies over thousands of years have come to pass. When God had planned it centuries and centuries earlier, it has all now come upon them. It is now to begin. The speaking and the preaching to the kingdom of God. God's timing is always perfect. God's thinking is always perfect. Could it be that the timing of these seminars are important for each and every one of us? We have, many of us, prayed and fasted over what we would do with these seminars. They are important. It is a whole church effort around the world, simultaneously. As we sit in this Sabbath congregation, there are hundreds and hundreds of congregations all over the world simultaneously, both last week, on this Sabbath, and next. We'll be speaking about this very verse. It is that important to us. There will be hundreds and hundreds of hours put into preparation and research, hundreds and hundreds of hours of prayer and meditation and planning in preparation for the event. Today is a singular point in time, and we may never, ever pass this way again. This is not the only day of salvation, but it is still an important time, a key time. Today is a point in time, and perhaps today is a time of fulfillment. Yes, here today, right now, is possibly a time of fulfillment. Perhaps God, over all of our lives, with all the experiences, both the great things that we've experienced and the tragedies that we experience, because we believe that God prepares us. He prepares us from the bad that we really don't want to experience and the good. He prepares us. So over a lifetime, and allowing us a combination of very, very unique experiences, he would create a moment in time that we would be together. All of us live so very different lives. All of us this last week, no two of us have experienced the same set of circumstances of either tragedies or blessings. Nor will we next week or the week after. So God prepares each in every one of us. And possibly this moment in time has become fulfilled, or will become fulfilled for many of us, to take a step, to understand more, to learn more. God wants us to learn and understand Him. And it takes a lifetime. But it starts at some point where we say, I must learn this. I find that this is truth, and I must learn more about this. It has happened to many of us. So possibly that next step will be explained in the next session for you, and that will be entitled, The Kingdom is at Hand. As we break for a moment, I or we will ask you to remember that God is not simply the creator of time, but the master of all timing. And the reality is that you must understand, as His Word tells us, that He is the master of timing. And at the end of the day, we must all allow Him to be, and I must allow, and you must allow Him to be, your master and your king. Thank you.